Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we sit on this Wednesday afternoon. It is April 11th on the Wintrust Business Lunch and 720 WGN. A shortened show again today. We've got White Sox baseball coming up at 12:35. And, well, Terry Savage joins us on most Wednesdays, and she does today as well. Terry, welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Always good to be here.
Are you sitting in Tom Skilling's seat? Is that what's going on?
I'm over at WGN editing a video for a project, so I'm over in Tom's seat. And Tim McGill. I'm just sitting here kind of in the legendary seat.
Okay, well, we've got a party outside this weekend, and I'm just wondering how the weather's going to be.
Okay, the weather's going to be okay, but not as nice as in Florida, Arizona, California, and a lot of other places.
Well, you just
but
proved.
This is Chicago.
That's right. Anyone can do it, I guess.
Right.
Mark Zuckerberg has been sitting before members of Congress yesterday, the Senate, for I think like 5 hours, the House today. I don't know how closely you've watched it, but he admitted today that his was among the data involved in that improper share of data, that his went to Cambridge Analytica as well.
Steve, I am so fascinated by this process of crosstalk because it reveals generational and ignorance and differences. I mean, I always used to get a kick. You know, you laugh about this, but watching Maxine Waters, you know, interview the Fed chairman, that's two ships crossing in the night and barely missing each other.
And so, what's your point here?
My point is that when you think of, not that this isn't serious, but this has risen, but it's only serious in a certain way, and everybody's taking this as if it were a crime.
Okay, let's stop. I'm going to stop you right there, because Bennett and I had this conversation off the air. I kind of brought it up yesterday as well. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think we're all on board. I'm not that worried about my data. I'm not scared of my Facebook data being shared. It shouldn't be done improperly. It doesn't scare me.
It's who could access it and misuse it. Look, first of all, we're talking about a generation that shares everything. Stuff you would keep secret in the family archives forever gets shared on Facebook. The question is, shared with whom? And there's this whole idea that you don't really understand. But intuitively, we do. Because if I go browsing online shopping, you know, Wayfair, one of my favorite sites, and I'm looking for end tables, I am never, ever surprised that in the middle of looking at Facebook, I'll come up four or five pictures of things that I might be interested on Wayfair.
Right.
I know they're following me around. So the question that really made this significant was that were people using it to manipulate and send fake information and so forth around the election? I don't think anybody of the Facebook generation is at all surprised information is being shared.
Right.
They just get scared when it's nefarious. And I think if it results in more easily, readily usable controls for users, fine. But I watch Mark Zuckerberg and I realize that these people don't get it in Congress. They've never been on Facebook except to look at their grandchildren's pictures.
I was talking to my mom this morning because she got a notification that not her data, but a friend's data had been shared. Same thing with me. I looked it up.
What do you post on your data in Facebook?
Well,
point.
But that's the thing. So we're talking about it. And I'm like, you know, it's really not a big deal. She kind of agreed. She said she's careful about her location, but her name's in the phone book. You know, her voting record is available. It's public record. I mean, the stuff is out there. So I think we got to watch out how it's used and if it's used improperly. And I think that's appropriate. But I don't think we should scare ourselves.
Exactly.
But here's the
thing. Coming in your bedroom to look at you through your Facebook when it's open on your iPad.
We talk so much about identity theft and all of that. I was a victim again.
Oh, no.
Just a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, because, you know, you helped me. I was a big victim a few years ago.
Yep.
And so now we've got all these alerts. And Sharon, my wife, got credit card alerts that we were starting to get these charges on our American Express. Someone was taking cash out at a currency exchange in our name. So we were able to stop it. The company worked with us. We got new cards. All of that's the value of those early alerts. Then I go driving through Indiana last week, and I posted this, everyone, on my Facebook page. It's my Steve Bertrand page, not the private one, but the public one. You can follow me there and see a picture. I went to get gas. I almost put my credit card in this gas station pump, and there are these two pieces of plastic sticking out, and it looks like it's an illegal credit card reader. I saw the picture.
It's a swipe stealer, and it got dislodged, and that's how they do it.
I tried to rip it out myself. There's another guy next to me. I showed him. We went in and talked to this. Let me tell you this. We went into the station, and I said, hey, I think there's an illegal thing out there. And the woman, who was busy, but she said, yeah, someone else told us about it, too. And I'm like, well, don't you want to block it? And they didn't seem too eager
to
do
that. Turn off that pump. Yeah. That's the easiest thing. That kind of thing is part of daily life. And I will tell you that just like, you know, you brush your teeth morning and night, I just about every day go online and check. I don't have that many credit cards. And I check in and see what the balances are.
It's a good idea, and man, I can't
safely and securely from my password-protected internet-secure connection.
I can't
not on my iPhone.
Setting up those alerts enough. Okay, the president's been tweeting war, tweeting tough today, and it's being felt on Wall Street. Right, stocks are down a little bit. NASDAQ's up with Facebook stock, but and there's an impact on oil because of what the president tweeted today. Explain that for me.
Oh, and gold. Well, first of all, there's all kinds of conflict bubbling in the Middle East. But the idea that the trade routes would be blocked, I mean, the world is pretty much awash in oil, but it doesn't mean that you could have a conflict there that would maybe impact Saudi Arabia and Syria. There's some Yemen, there's some talk about some activity there. If anything that would disrupt the free flow of this oil would push oil prices up. I think the real market, though, that's telling you something, because gold, you know, everybody's laughed at gold. Oh, no, it's Bitcoin now. Forget gold. Well, gold's lasted for centuries. Everybody who knows me knows I'm a bit of a gold bug, and I watch the gold market, and, I mean, it's up $17 an ounce today to a level. It's backed off a little bit. It's now 1358. It was 1362. And just around that level, 1362, 63, there's been massive selling in recent months of gold. There's a lot of people that say that it is Venezuela selling its gold reserves. They have unloaded a lot of gold. But gold market is really where you see global big money move in times of insecurity. And to see a move like that, I'm not saying where gold will go in the future, but that tells you how seriously the world is taking all the stuff that's being tweeted. And if you told me 20 years ago that a president would tweet that he's going to send missiles, even though it might be justified and that might be a decision made in the deliberations with the president and his advisors, but that someone would tweet that missiles were coming and they're shiny and smart and new, I mean, my goodness.
You know, it's a good point, and this falls into politics or political talk too often, but I think sometimes there's value in taking a step back and just looking at what's coming out right now and how extraordinary, and by that I mean not ordinary, it is. That we've never had a president behave in this way, positive or negative. It has never happened before to taunt the leader of Russia and talk about shiny, smart, new missiles.
Let's go back to 1960, when Kennedy was sitting there saying seriously to the nation with the flag behind him and everyone crowded around their TVs. There were only three networks broadcasting. They're all broadcasting John F. Kennedy announcing that there are missiles offshore in Cuba and that this is what we're going to do and this is threatening the Russians. I mean, that was a national gather-around, folks, emergency of the highest presidential demeanor. I mean, I guess I'm old enough to remember that a little bit. It was scary. And now it's an offhand morning tweet.
Yeah, and offhand is a part of it because apparently the security staff wasn't all behind it. And so we'll see how it goes, but here we're feeling it on the market.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage joins us today from Channel 9 as she's working on a video project there. And Terry, I'm glad you were able to do it. I'm glad it's on a studio line, too. You sound great.
Oh, good.
I want to talk taxes with you because, you know, I did mine earlier and then you kind of forget that they're due in a week. But before that, there was news today that John Boehner is joining a marijuana company. And he said, look, I found I had a friend who was a vet who was really helped by medical marijuana. It's the new thing. And he's going to join on to sort of be a big public face, I would think. He doesn't like legalization, but medical marijuana, yes. And so there we have a former speaker under the grow lights.
That was great, Steve. Look, please, everybody, take your distaste for marijuana as a lead-in drug or as whatever your preconceptions are, just by the way, as many people did in the 1920s with alcohol. Just sweep that aside. First of all, marijuana is legal medically and otherwise in some states, medically in most states, and here in Illinois. So it is being grown under strict conditions. And if you go on, for instance, CNBC and type in the search box, marijuana, you will find at least a dozen marijuana stocks. There is even an ETF for marijuana. It's the Emerging Marijuana Growers Index ETF. So the fact is that marijuana is now a product. So you can all have separate debates about if you were to ban something, would you ban cigarettes? Would you ban vaping or would you ban marijuana or maybe all three? But the fact is, the industry has proven that it does have medical benefits.
So will John Boehner do for marijuana what Bob Dole did for Viagra? Remember that?
Yes.
It was Dole.
Yes, who did.
Did the first ads for Viagra on TV.
That's true. I think
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to distract you.
I think the whole idea of it just makes me giggle. But the fact is, this is a cash crop. It is valuable in the medicinal industry, and just like we get tree bark for from South America for certain medicines, this is now a legal cash crop, and there are many resources being poured into growing it. The energy, I've done a little research on it because I was interested in the stocks. The energy required puts a drain on resources in places that heretofore gave the cops a lead into where it was being grown illegally. Water is an issue. Banking is an issue if it became a commodity
right.
That was, because today most financial institutions won't bank these companies. But the fact is, John Boehner, sitting on the board of a marijuana company, is going to be one of those turning points you will mark.
Hey, we got to join baseball here in just a couple of minutes, so we've got a minute left. Any last-minute tax advice for people?
Oh, gosh, not much you can do at this point. Give you three quick things. First of all, the last thing you can do to get a deduction is open a deductible IRA. You can do that up until the date your return has to be filed. Speaking of that date, you can file, I'll never forget this, extension form 4868, but you're supposed to calculate the amount of taxes you owe and send the check in along with 4868. So that's the last thing.
Yeah, that's the key, right? An extension doesn't get you out of paying your what's due, or at least a strong estimation of what's due now.
Exactly. One more quick reminder.
Sure.
A lot of people prepaid their taxes before year end, their property taxes, because next year they'll have a cap on combined state and property taxes. So a lot of people did it in December. You usually check for your checks back earlier in the year when you're looking for your deductions for your tax return. Don't forget that December check you wrote to prepay the 2019. 18 taxes.
Another thing about that is because I prepaid half, I kind of thought I'd get off the spring without having to pay. But Lake County is dividing up what we prepaid and then making still two smaller payments through the year. So
they need their
money. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a bill this spring. Don't forget to look for that as well. All right, Terry Savage, we'll talk again next Wednesday.
Fun. Play ball.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. With the auto industry constantly in flux, there's a ton of room for growth and opportunity. One of the latest shakeups was Lake Forest-based Tenneco's offer to buy Federal Mogul for $5.4 billion. These are two manufacturing companies that have a strong focus in creating car parts as the industry awaits the next certain direction. Clearly, Tenneco is looking forward to the future, but only time will tell if gambling on the risk of a buyout will pay off down the line. Heavy equipment manufacturer Komatsu is also looking to the future. They've officially announced their plan to move their Rolling Meadows headquarters to Chicago as the trend among suburban companies continues. It ends their 11-year stint in the northwestern burbs, and they plan on bringing 300 current employees to the city with hopes of attracting plenty more younger employees who live close to downtown. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.